Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jores. We're talking some Packers football. It's a Friday. TGIF, everyone. It's now the off season, but there's still plenty of talk about in the world of the Green Bay Packers. I wanted to kick off today's show by talking about the Green Bay Packers cheerleaders. If you haven't heard by now, there's a lot of chatter about one particular cheerleader. Her name is Caitlin Collins, as I've come to know from reading articles on the internet. This former Packers cheerleader had her face, her photo posted on a Chicago Bears fan Facebook page. And basically was the victim of some abusive comments. We have a post about it. Our own Jamie Jores here can, and Jamie, if you want, feel free to link to your post on Cheesehead TV that basically sums up the what happened. And what happened is this: her photo is posted to a Chicago Bears Facebook page, Chicago Bears fan Facebook page, and the caption under her photo reads something to the effect of, like if you think the Packers have the worst cheerleaders in the NFL. And the comments started to come in. And among them, many had the same thing of this Ms. Collins being ugly. And on top of that, one particular one, if I can quote it here, says, quote, doesn't get any uglier, truly an eyesore. So, you know, this comes to Ms. Collins' attention, and she responds to it, not just on Facebook, but on top of that makes a YouTube video responding to these rather insensitive comments. She makes a YouTube video, and Jamie has it posted in her her blog post there at Cheesehead TV. And it's rather unique. I would play the video here, actually, except for the fact that it actually has no sound. Well, it has music playing in the background. But and you can check it out, and I'm sure many of you have already. Ms. Collins basically, holds up a series of placards explaining what happens and how hurtful these comments are. And you know, from my opinionated stance here is that absolutely these are insensitive comments and embarrassing to call her ugly. And I think it's also worth mentioning here the history of the Green Bay Packers cheerleaders. And I am not an expert here. I believe the Packers used to have professional cheerleaders back in the day. And don't quote me on that. As far as the term professional goes, I have no clue how much they were paid. But they used to have regular cheerleaders back in the day. What are we talking, like the 1970s here? And that practice has since been nixed. And nowadays, the Packers have cheerleaders, but what they do is they have a partnership with the two local universities, the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, who has their own Division I basketball team, both men's and women's. So they also, you know, are cheerleaders for that on a, you know, a somewhat large stage. UWGB basketball is certainly not the biggest program in the world, but it is Division One. And also the Packers have a partnership with St. Norbert University, you know, a smaller private school there, private college. I believe they compete in Division III athletics, but still they have a cheerleading squad. And so the Packers utilize them. I believe they take turns. Like one game it'll be the UWGB cheerleaders serving as cheerleaders for the Packers. The next game, it'll be the St. Norbert's cheerleaders. I think that's the way that works. Again, don't quote me on this. You know, had I actually been on top of this and had a little more time, I should have actually have taken the initiative and asked Caitlin Collins to come on this show, or perhaps maybe a representative from the university. But, you know, I don't know if a whole lot of fans are aware of this. So, I mean, you see it on TV, you see it in the stadium. These girls are dressed up in Packers gear. For all the common fan knows, if you don't really dig into the background, they think they are professional cheerleaders. Well, I mean, because they're all in Packers gear when they are out there on Sundays or whatever day of the week the Packers play on. But they're not. They're not professionals. These are college girls and guys. The mount men, as I think the term is called. You know, the guys who are at the bottom of the pyramids, holding them up, whatever, what have you. They too are college students. And yes, to call this girl or any of the Packers cheerleaders, in which they are strictly amateurs and college students, is absolutely classless. You know, to call anybody ugly, you know, I think is pretty classless in general. Now, I mean, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, correct? I mean, what I find, you know, to be attractive is different than what another person would find attractive. But I mean, that's kind of devolving into another conversation here and beside the point. Miss Collins here, Kevin Lamb says on the live blog, she's a good looking girl too. Bears fans are stupid. And she is. I mean, she's absolutely adorable, I think. And I think the video she made on YouTube was a fantastic and classy response, and a good way to deal with this. She made this YouTube video. It's now since kind of gone a little bit viral. And people are seeing it everywhere. And just, you know, it comes out against cyberbullying in general, in which people hide behind a computer to make abusive comments. Although, you know, with many of them, their comments, their real name is public. If it is, in fact, their real persona they're portraying on Facebook, as we've come to learn through Manti Te'o and the whole catfishing phenomenon, that's not always the case. But again, here, beside the point, you know, it's classless to do this. And I should say, too, I'd be remiss if I didn't remark here. There were comments in support of Caitlin Collins as well, you know, decrying these hurtful comments and supporting her, and that's great. And you know, the update is, as I think it was learned late yesterday afternoon, the photo has been removed from the Chicago Bears fan Facebook page, which I think, you know, Miss Collins wanted to begin with. And so, I mean, that's, you know, the whole point of her video is to come out against cyberbullying. And I think she made a little bit of a point here. It got some attention. And she says she's She's very comfortable with who she is. She's glad she has a strong support network of people telling her she is, in fact, beautiful. But worries about those who maybe don't have that support network and maybe sulk with these comments and take it to heart. And that truly is a unfortunate, situation. And so, again, it's great. Kevin Lamb says, I saw the story hit the Chicago news station and newspapers here today. I heard it on ABC Chicago this morning, too. That's interesting. I knew it was in the Green Bay media. I didn't know it hit the Chicago media. I'm glad it did. So, really cool. And a cool topic. And glad everything worked out for Caitlin Collins. And glad it all worked out that way. So, really interesting topic. Kind of in the Packers offseason, this was one of the more attention-getting items yesterday in the world of the Green Bay Packers. The other topic that we'll talk quite a bit about today is tight end Jermichael Finley. And by the way, if you want to comment on the Packers cheerleaders, on Jermichael Finley, etc., feel free to call into the show. The phone number is area code 608-403-5255. The phone lines are open. The floor is yours if you want to chime in. And anyway, here, continuing the discussion about Jermichael Finley, an article was posted in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Reporter Tyler Dunn caught up with Packers tight end Jermichael Finley yesterday, I assume. I don't know exactly when the interview took place, but, very recently at least. And Finley basically came out and said he thinks it's about a 50-50 chance he's back with the Packers in 2013. So that's the opinion of the man himself, of Jermichael Finley. You know, to go back in time and to give you the backstory here, an article was written by Dunn's colleague, Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, this past, when did that come out? December sometime? It was late in the regular season, right before the end of the regular season and before the playoffs, I believe. That said, the Packers are likely not to bring Finley back next season, and basically said they would try to trade him, and if not, they would release him, I think is how it worked out with the comments from Bob McGinn. And, you know, this is a really difficult issue. I can see both sides of the argument in whether or not the Packers should bring Finley back in 2013. I can see both sides, and I personally am torn. And for a guy who's very opinionated on topics of the Green Bay Packers, I'm not sure what to tell you. I talked about this briefly just on Wednesday's episode of Railbird Central, and you know, my original stance was that I don't think the Packers should bring back Finley, and I still tend, I think, to agree with that, although I'm opening up to the other side, and I guess part of the reason or the thing that has the most influence for me is that the Packers are also going to be losing Greg Jennings and Donald Driver, and you know, perhaps the loss of Donald Driver is negligible, but still, the Packers potentially losing Greg Jennings here, and you know, it just would be a big blow to lose Jennings, Driver, and Finley all in the same offseason. Albeit the Packers still have a pretty good receiving core, even without those three, with Jordy Nelson, James Jones, Randall Cobb, etc., still on the team. Now, I think if you lose Finley, now you have to go about and wonder where is the production going to come from the tight end position, though, and what do the Packers do there? It would certainly be a risk to throw all your eggs in one basket with the remaining tight ends, and that is an interesting group as well. You've got Tom Crabtree, who's the fan favorite and a great dude and a good blocker, but of course will never be a receiving threat, although I'm sure Tom would point to his two long touchdowns this past season that were both amazing and two of the Packers' best plays of the year, arguably the two best plays of the year. But I still think that, as Zach Cruz points out in a column here at Cheesehead TV, they're almost the factor of the Packers taking advantage of a breakdown in coverage more so than Finley making a fantastic play, although he did his job, certainly. But so you've got Tom Crabtree, and there's, you know, still a place for him on the roster regardless, I would think, maybe. You've got Andrew Corliss, who's the real question mark, a guy who missed the entire season, was on the PUP list and then injured reserve, and you have no clue if he's going to come back from that horrific knee injury suffered during the 2011 season. You know, he kind of looked like he could be a factor with the Packers, but then that injury, unfortunate injury, happens, and now you have no clue. As John asked on the live blog, is this year DJ Williams breaks out? Here's a guy with a lot of potential. He's a little on the smaller side, but of course, in college, of course, DJ Williams was a very prolific receiving tight end at the University of Arkansas, and through 2 years with the Packers, they haven't really seen anything from him, particularly in the regular season. While he has maybe teased the Packers and hinted at good things to come during training camp, nothing has really materialized in 2 seasons now. So it's you're sitting there wondering if DJ Williams will ever, you know, be, you know, anything more than a third, fourth string tight end. And I'm dubious about that point at this juncture in time. And you've got Ryan Taylor, a Packers tight end who's, you know, has also been used as a blocker sparingly on offense. His biggest role is on special teams. And again, you sit there and wonder if he's capable of being any bigger of a factor on offense, and I'm not sure he is either. So what do the Packers do? Do they go out and hit the NFL draft? And two guys who I think could be there late in the first round are Stanford's Zach Ertz and Notre Dame's Tyler Eifert. But do you want to, put all your eggs in one basket with a rookie tight end who could be very good people, but of course there's no guarantees. The Packers' 2012 first-round draft choice, Nick Perry, played a marginal role before going on injured reserve. Packers' 2011 first-round draft choice, Derek Sherrod, was on injured reserve all year and, PUP list for a time with the Packers this year. The last two first-rounders haven't had a big impact. And you certainly hope the next one does, but what I'm saying is there's no guarantees. There's no guarantees. Jermichael Finley has a contract that will pay him, and it is important to point out here, if you're unawares, that Jermichael Finley is under contract for 2013. He's not a free agent. The Packers aren't debating about whether to re-sign him or not. He's under contract for one more year, Just last year, he signed a 2-year contract. So he's played out 1 year, is now entering the final year of a 2-year contract. He is to be paid $8.25 million, I believe. And I couldn't tell you whether that includes bonuses or not. I think it does. Regardless, I think Zach pointed out in his column that Finley has the third highest salary cap number for the Packers next season. And that's a lot of money to be paying for a guy who probably is not the third most talented player on the team. So there's a lot of, you know, questions surrounding JerMichael Finley here. What can the Packers do? They can try to trade him. What are they going to get in return? I think we talked about that the last episode. They're not going to get a first rounder for him, guaranteed. Could they get a second day draft choice? Could they get a second or third? And do you want to accept anything less than that? I mean, if you're going to get a third day draft choice, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round, are you not perhaps just better off keeping JerMichael Finley then for the 2013 season? So those are the factors you all have to, consider here when thinking about the future of JerMichael Finley. And not just that as well, you got to consider perhaps the room the Packers need to make to sign extensions to Aaron Rodgers, Clay Matthews, B.J. Raji, and perhaps even Sam Shields. This is a convoluted issue here that, as the dude would say, many ins, many outs, many what have yous. it really is. I mean, there's so many things to factor into this JerMichael Finley decision. And of course, I haven't even gotten into his, you know, basic background of being a guy who's been outspoken in the media, doesn't always think through what he says, and sometimes maybe creates a distraction, at least off the field. I don't know about whether that carries over onto the field. You could argue that maybe he distracts himself, and that carries over into his, you know, somewhat high number of drops the past two seasons. So again, I mean, we're just adding layer upon layer into all these things that factor into a Packers decision on what they do with JerMichael Finley next season. I lean toward getting rid of him, getting rid of that $8 million and trying to find something else. You know, it maybe you're adding a tight end in the draft this year. So, and you know what? I was wrong, just 2 days ago, if you're a regular listener of Real Bird Central on Wednesday, I talked about perhaps the Packers making a draft day trade with JerMichael Finley, in which maybe if they go ahead and, a hypothetical situation, if they were to grab Ertz or Eifert in the first round, maybe they turn around and deal Finley the next day. Well, that's unrealistic, I realize now, because part of his bonus, I believe JerMichael Finley receives an over $3 million bonus if he's on the roster on the first day of the league year. So that comes in early March, and the Packers still have another month to evaluate this and perhaps even, gauge the market here for JerMichael Finley. But, the Packers have to make a decision basically in the next month. Either they keep him and if he's on the roster at the start of the league year, if he's on the Packers roster, well, he's playing in 2013 because they just paid him a $3 million bonus. So that's why a decision needs to be made and made now on him. So, not now this moment, but now in the next month. So, another layer. I mean, how complicated does this get? Kyle says on the live blog, quote, I say keep Finley. He's playing for his next contract, so you know he'll have a great year. Might as well reap the rewards with him for one more season. True, and that necessarily wouldn't prevent the Packers from drafting a tight end, maybe not in the first round, but at some point to develop and maybe replace Finley in another year. And again, you know, should JerMichael Finley leave as a free agent after the 2013 season, the Packers could potentially get compensation in the form of a compensatory draft choice. Again, that wouldn't even they wouldn't even see that until the 2015 draft. But again, add another layer. JerMichael Finley's an onion here. there's your metaphor of the day. JerMichael Finley is an onion. That we just keep peeling back layers and all the things the Packers have to consider whether to keep him or not. Wow, this has been fun to deconstruct JerMichael Finley and the Packers' decision facing the organization. And it is a complicated one. It is a complicated one. I lean toward getting rid of him. I would not necessarily be opposed or surprised if they kept him. You know, people smarter than myself are running the Packers organization, and hopefully they will make the right choice. So, you know, I can certainly see that. I can certainly see the Packers keeping him. I understand he's ultra-talented. He knows the offense. He brings some continuity to the team as they're losing other wide receivers. I see the reasons for keeping him. I understand all these. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the next month plays out. Most definitely. I mean, it's going to be an interesting month here as the league year opens. And you know what's new this year? It is the league year opens March 12th, and teams can start signing free agents then. What they've done, I think, for 3 days prior to that, so on March 9th, they're allowing teams to pursue and contact free agents, whereas before, you couldn't do that. It was considered tampering. Now they're allowing teams, giving them a 3-day window to talk to free agents. And basically, it's preventing tampering. But on top of that, it's providing a storyline for a 3-day window into more media coverage of the Green Bay Packers, as they could potentially be talking to free agents at that point. And again, just it would only be talking, but yeah. So interesting how that would all work out. I don't see the Packers being a big player in free agency, but of course they've got Greg Jennings eligible for free agency. I wonder too. You want to add another layer to the JerMichael Finley onion here? I wonder if perhaps they get rid of Finley's contract. Is there then perhaps enough money to keep Greg Jennings around? I don't think so, but just let me throw that out there. and see what sticks. And I don't think there is, because of all the money that's going to be due to Aaron Rodgers, Clay Matthews, BJ Raji, etc. It's really a dangerous, you know, situation the Packers are traversing here. In the future, a salary cap situation they have to handle delicately. And you wonder, too, here, is Aaron Rodgers, is Clay Matthews, are they going to handcuff the Packers in terms of being competitive by signing other players? It's always an interesting debate to wonder, you know, I always in my mind wonder, you know, whether a player would to become the first player ever to like take a huge pay cut
simply for the fact that he's doing it so the team can be competitive to sign other players. I've never seen it. I've seen players restructure contracts and take perhaps a little bit of a pay cut to help a team out, but never a huge pay cut, and it'll probably never ever happen because everybody wants theirs and are deserving of theirs as well. But again, it's been a fun episode, folks. It's past 9 o'clock now. Thanks for joining us here on Railbird Central. Have a good weekend. First weekend without football. I don't know what we're going to do. Enjoy basketball, I guess. The Wisconsin Badgers have a big game Saturday afternoon. They play Michigan, who's one of the big top-ranked teams in the nation. I'll be watching that. But
I'm going to be in Madison tonight. If anybody is going to the Lotus show at the Barrymore Theater, I'll buy you a beer. It's a one-time offer here in which I would do that, but I'm very excited to do that this evening in the city of Madison. So anyway, folks, I'll see you later. Have a good weekend, everyone. It's been fun. We'll be back next Monday to talk about whatever the future brings us in terms of the Green Bay Packers. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. I leave you today with a song called The Place I Call Home by the infamous String Dusters on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone.
Holding the fire, standing in the rain. Of desire, close to the flame. Nothing can be done to change their mind.